Hey, Benny.
Hey, T-Lou.
No, this is your first time on the pod, so I was just curious if you wanted to introduce yourself.
Yeah, hi, my name is.
High line into right, back at the wall,
swung on a drill deep to right field. There it goes. See ya.
First hit of the year.
Oh. He drives one deep left field. That goes up to it.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, folks. Welcome to episode 75 of the Big Fly Pod with your co-host, Vinny D'Amato and T-Lou. Vinny, opening day had occurred in Korea. We're going to talk about the Seoul series between the Dodgers and the Padres, which they split. We're also going to talk a little bit about a little bit of a spicy situation going on that... on the record, the Big Fly Pod is not a credible source for the story that we are going to bring up, but we're going to talk about it. And then we think JD Martinez is a Met, maybe some other little free agent headlines, but let's check in with you, dude. Welcome back. It's been a while.
Yeah, I've been sick for the last week or so. It was not a fun few days. And then yesterday we had our dishwasher go out. So it's been, you know, on top of work and other recording and, you know, I tutor on the side too. It's been a mayhem, crazy week. And so I'm happy to be back. I'm excited to talk some baseball. I've been following along when I can. I unfortunately didn't catch much of the Seoul series. You know, A, it was at 5 a.m. and B, I've just been busy during the day, so I didn't get to catch up too much, but still a lot of fun stuff to talk about and a lot of interesting, you know, media things going on that, you know, we're going to talk about some spicy situations, a couple of good signings. And I love watching some of these hot hitters. There are some great performances in spring training, pitchers and hitters alike. So I'm excited for this. Let's dive into it. And we're talking about the Mariners, right?
We are. That'll be episode 76, sure. Which of course I've been liking the whole, like, drop an episode, here's another episode for you type of thing. You know, I always hope for podcasts that I listen to that just go, here you go. Boom. Two episodes. Have what you want with it. I personally, so I did catch some of the Seoul series. I love saying that. So series, I did catch some of it, like Vinny mentioned. The split, of course, happened as the Dodgers won the first game 5-2, and the Padres won the second game 15-11. So first game wise, it was neck and neck the entire way. Glasnow looked fantastic. Darvish did as well. And then towards the latter half of the game, Jake Cronenworth's glove breaks on a ground ball, which was sort of the biggest news in sport that day, right? So that was fun to watch, but also sad to watch because it was such a good ball game. And to unfortunately see that game go, you know, get away from the Padres after that. Cronenworth then, of course, stepped up there in game two and had a really, really nice day. Campusano had a really nice day. Machado had a bomb. Betts had a bomb. Betts actually hit the first home run of the MLB season. And it was actually very impressive that anybody could get the ball out of the ballpark. Yamamoto is a, I'm not going to say it. Yeah, I am. He's a bust. And so that's pretty much what happened. And then something else happened during all of this that we'll talk about here in a little bit, that's, you know, sort of unreal. But with what you were able to catch, highlights, whether you watched the game or not, Vinny, a little bit, it was just so early in the morning, man. It's tough. What were your thoughts?
From what I've gathered, and I've tried to gather as much as I can, some of the things that have really stuck out to me, the umpiring has been questionable for a couple big situations. I do know. So the one that kind of sticks in my mind was when Xander Bogaerts got called out for a strike three call. I don't know if you saw that. He was standing in the box and looking at the pitcher with 9 seconds on the clock, right? And he's standing there and he's looking, he's waiting. And then it goes from 8, 7, 6, 5. When the time it hits 4, that's when the umpire stops the game and says, no, he wasn't ready at 8 seconds. The batter has to be looking with the pitcher with 8 seconds on the clock. Xander was looking at 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4. Then the umpire says, no, he wasn't looking in time. That's a violation. That's strike 3. That was kind of mind blowing to me. I was like, what the hell are you talking about? You just took away an at bat from a very, you know, very good hitter. Why would you do that? So I would like an explanation for that one. I saw Freddie Freeman got called out on a check swing that looked like he'd barely moved. Just some kind of, you know, and I hate to take away from the performances because there were some phenomenal performances throughout the series. But the one thing that did kind of stick out, and maybe it's just because I'm what I'm seeing on Twitter, right? That's what people like to highlight are the mistakes. And so maybe that's what I'm seeing. You mentioned Mookie Betts has had a phenomenal start. I was big on Luis Camposano. I'm happy to see after I saw his first 0-for-4 day, I was like, and then he came back and had a huge game this morning. So pitching performances probably need some, you know, first game of the year jitters, maybe. There's a lot of questionable things there, but overall, fine start to the season. I kind of wish that this was, you know, just regular games as opposed to now they're going to come back and play spring training games, which is just kind of bizarre to me. But happy the season got underway, and sounds like we had some phenomenal games to watch for the first two games.
A very unique experience waking up at 4:30 in the morning and seeing baseball live. And what was weird though was that there wasn't it didn't say opening day anywhere on the screen, anywhere on the jerseys. It was all about the series in Korea, which I found very unique, but I thought was like, oh, okay, I would have, you know, maybe prefer it to be opening day. Yeah. But I think the MLB is like, hey, that's our sacred little ground on a Thursday. Everybody somehow is working that day. Cubs open on Thursday night.
A week from today, yeah.
In Globe Field in Texas. I will say this about the game. Of course, the Padres had 2 errors in game 1. Dodgers had 0, and then it flipped. Dodgers had 3 in game 2. Padres had 0. Bogarts and Kim looked absolutely fantastic. Betts looked pretty good at short. He hit a play where kind of bounced off his glove a little bit, but just freakishly athletic over there on the 6th hole. I mean, the guy is just he's special. And we saw it at the dish. I mean, one of the fantasy baseball drafts I'm in, he was drafted first. And yeah. I don't see a problem with that after what I just saw, what he did in Korea. And the flash and the cool, like, you know, the swag aspect of him is just so unique and so cool to watch. Pitching wise, obviously in the second game, got away from everybody. But let's not forget, this is officially the second game of the year. And these guys are in their first real full-on pressure moments. And it had a little bit of a playoff feel in certain moments of that game. Like when Cronenworth's whatever happened, where his glove decided to break, which equipment manager may have been under Otani's payroll. I'm kidding. That's a joke. It's a joke. We're starting early. $4.5 million. But...
You're funny. That's funny. You're funny guy.
Yeah, I know. So in my eyes, that game 1 really had a playoff feel. It really did. I think the Padres adding Cease, you could tell, made them more confident. Bullpen wise is really interesting. I like what I saw to Yuki Matsui. He had actually dealt with a little bit of, he was a little off his game right there at the beginning. Pitching coach went out to go see him, turn things around, and really settle down. I joke about Yamamoto being a bust. Obviously, that is a complete joke because the guy is absolutely disgusting. Some of the pitches that he threw were incredible. But I would have to go back and really kind of, I was actually going to do that probably tomorrow, was kind of just go back and watch it, because I think for any international player, remember that Japan is considered the second best league in the world. MLB is the first. Maybe MLB hitters are kind of a little bit better and ready to go, you know, for the year. So overall, I thought it was very, very cool. But while we make jokes about it, it seems like an actual serious situation with Shohei Ohtani and what went down. Now, Vinny and I were actually talking about this before we recorded because we're very careful on what we want to say because we don't want to be wrong. We want to talk about what's been reported and then we want to give our thoughts. I want to be clear there that we are not making up any information. We're not trying to. And if we make up a little bit, whatever, that we were wrong, we apologize in advance. But our goal is here is just to kind of break down what we've heard here thus far. Because if we try to break down everything, we'll be on here for an hour and a half. We're going to keep it very, very simple and concise as to what has happened thus far. Vinny, I thought you did a great job when we were off air kind of talking about sort of what has transpired. Would you mind kind of walking through for people who may not want to go through an entire video from John Boy as to what happened? They could want to just maybe get a quick snippet.
Yeah, so I will do the best that I can. So from what I understand, and again, we'll preface it by saying I'm not an expert. I'm trying to read what I can from what I've seen. This is the best that I understand it. Ohtani's PR group came out and said it was made aware to us or we're aware of a situation where Ohtani has paid off his translator's gambling debts. And so his translator, Ipe, I don't know how to say his name, I'm sorry, but he travels around with Ohtani. They've been friends or acquaintances since at least like 2013. So they've known each other for about 10 years at least. And it came out that Ohtani had covered about $4.5 million of his gambling bets, his translator's gambling bets. And so that came out. The translator talked with ESPN. He gave a whole 90-minute kind of like situation. Here's all of my details, blah, blah, blah. And then a couple hours later, the Ohtani PR group instead said, no, actually, what he said in that meeting with ESPN is a lie. This is actually theft. The translator stole $4.5 million from Ohtani, and that's what's going on. Now we're going to report it to police. And so there's so much happening here that it's hard to break down. But from the way I understand it and what I actually think happened was that Ohtani's group or their PR group brought out the truth and they said Ohtani covered his gambling debts. But then they realized Ohtani's not legally obligated to do that under his MLB contract. That's a huge, huge red flag, could get him suspended or kicked out of MLB indefinitely, right? Like we've seen it with other gambling situations, mainly Pete Rose, right? So my thought is they released that story and then said, oh shoot, Ohtani shouldn't be doing that. Now we're going to discredit everything that we just said and say, actually, instead it was fraud. And from what I understand too, the fact that they've been friends for 10 years makes me think that, okay, maybe he took the fall a little bit, the translator, and said, okay, no, I did actually steal this money. And again, it's super complicated. There's so many different possibilities and avenues and things that we just don't know. But from the end of the day, or at the end of the day, the scary thing to me as a casual baseball fan, not casual, I'm an invested baseball fan. I don't see how Shohei Ohtani isn't suspended indefinitely at this point, right? Like that is something that should not be happening, period. I don't care if you're covering for your translator or not, because the bookie that he paid was an illegal bookie. It's not like a bookie at MGM, or even that alone still wouldn't be good. But the fact that it was an illegal bookie, a guy who was connected with Yasiel Puig when Yasiel Puig was suspended for gambling and had some issues with MLB gambling. It's an illegal bookie that this guy's dealing with. And Ohtani sent $4.5 million to this guy. Like, whoa, time out. Like, I don't care if you were lying about that story or not. The fact that it was brought up in the first place warrants an investigation. So I hate saying it because, first of all, I don't think Pete Rose should be banned from the Hall of Fame, and I don't think he should be banned from baseball. But if you're going to ban Pete Rose and you're going to have these harsh penalties on Pete Rose, you have to do the same for Ohtani. And I hate saying it, but if I'm Rob Manfred, if I am the person who makes that decision, and I'm just as harsh on Pete Rose, I have to be just as harsh on Shohei Ohtani, and Shohei should be suspended indefinitely. And I hate saying it, but from everything I understand, how is he not out of the game of baseball for at least the foreseeable future until an investigation is done? That's, again, the brief overview. There's so many different details. You can watch the John Boy 20-minute video. There's 1,000 articles on it. It's the talk of Twitter, so get your information. But from what I understand, that's the general idea of everything. Tyler, any thoughts? What were your thoughts when you first saw the story come out?
First off, fantastic job, because this is so, so incredibly difficult to sort of reconcile what has transcribed here in the last 24 hours, right? You had a situation where reading that article that was put out, which was I almost have to look back at it and see, because where he comes out and he shows what I'm talking about there is the translator. So I'm talking about, my understanding is that the translator basically opened his bank account to show these payments made by Shohei Ohtani, described as loan. So first off,
yep.
Like that, yeah. You talk about putting yourself in a position of, oh Lord, this is about to get really heavy. And I truly mean this. I think Shohei and a translator didn't know the significance of this. And yeah. I think that is because, mm-hmm. and I mean this respectfully, I think it might be something along the lines of, it could be in reference to maybe them not understanding how it works, whatever it is.
Yes, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Whatever it is, right? Yep. Whatever it is, maybe they didn't understand it. Ohtani, in my eyes, throughout this situation, in from what I've heard thus far, and what I kind of know Ohtani as, it sounded like he was doing his boy a solid. Yeah, but
100%.
$4.5 million is not, I don't know, really doing your boy a solid. I think it's really trying to hide something maybe potentially deeper, but we'll talk about that. So What's important to note here, though, is that Tisha Thompson from ESPN is one of the reporters that has been all of this. And she does say there are still a lot of questions regarding this. Okay. So representatives of the LA Dodgers, superstar, of course, Shohei Ohtani, have contacted law enforcement authorities and asked them to investigate a massive theft of money from a player. I think this is going to be a situation where we truly don't have the entire story in front of us with what has gone down probably for, I would say, maybe a couple of weeks. Now, I saw something today from, I can't remember who it was, and I apologize that I can't give them credit for it, but they mentioned a great thing. Where the hell is Rob Manfred right now with stepping in and making a statement? So I really want to give this guy credit. Maybe it was Dallas Braden or somebody. And I really want to give this guy credit because he made a good point where he said, this is a horrible, horrible, horrible storm sitting around the MLB right now that really nobody knows what to do. And what's really hurting this too is just what happened in that dugout where you see Shohei and his translator having a normal conversation, acting like things are fine. He actually, Jeff Passan was on Pat McAfee's show today, and here are some of the quotes. When they were in the dugout yesterday, this is from Jeff Passan, quote, when they were in the dugout yesterday, Shohei Ohtani knew that there was a gambling involved with the translator. At some point yesterday, the story changed, and the statement was then that it was theft. What happened during that time, we don't know yet, close quote. So what really we all need to understand is, one, make sure you understand who you are seeing on social media that's giving stories. Because, oh Lord, were there some experts out there that had never, ever been an expert before. Okay, so that's the first thing. But two, what's more important is that you read the stories from ESPN, because they have been sort of the most accurate here thus far that have been then reported on a higher scale. I will say this to kind of close the chapter on this story, and then I'll turn it over to you, Vince, for whatever else you want to say. I think what we're looking at here is a story that the MLB needs to get right in the next month. I don't think it's the right thing to try and get everything done right by tomorrow. Suspending Shohei I would say, God,
it's not something I want to say. Like,
I see where you're coming from. My fear is that they suspend Ohtani and find out that it wasn't then it wasn't his fault.
And you know, maybe that's my I fall victim to the, you know, you're guilty until you're proven innocent, which I don't think should be the case in any situation. So maybe you're right to say, you know, I don't think he should be suspended. I do think there should be a full investigation on it. It's a tough situation because Ohtani's a guy that I have done nothing but root for and I still root for. But it's hard because it's like one of those things that most baseball fans have not agreed on the stance with Pete Rose in particular. I know he's the one that we go back to, but we've seen it in baseball before. Baseball is certainly one of the harshest, if not the harshest sport on gambling from its players and coaches. And so to me, like with how reactionary the world is, I'm just surprised that's not on the table of conversation of him being suspended, at least until there's more coming out. But at the same time, I don't think that he should. I think the investigation should be done first and then we should take action. But just, you know, with the reactionary world we live in, I'm just surprised it's not out there a little bit more.
A couple other things to note here, Vinny, great job.
Great job by you, by the way. Great
reporters. The reporters could not have access to Ohtani post game. Basically, a parade was around his locker, which who knows how ridiculous or crazy that is. Maybe there might have just been the, hey, please respect his time. Because here's the other thing too, Vinny. They're in Korea. So if you're doing an investigation on a guy with a guy where it's in the U.S., there's nothing you can do. So I don't even know. They fired the translator. I don't even know how that works. Does the translator, is he going to go home on their flight? Like, he's fired immediately. Yeah. So, So he's probably going to have to find his own flight, which that really sucks. Because, you know,
well, Tani
may not have a lot of money.
Sorry. I don't mean to add on to it. I don't.
Boom. I will say this. I put out a tweet of like the, when they announced when Ohtani signed his contract with the Dodgers, I said it's the best bet the Dodgers ever put down. Maybe I should have held off on that one.
Yeah.
There are some funny memes and funny things on the internet though, man.
I know it's a cesspool. Twitter is a cesspool, but
let's end it on this. I don't mean to interrupt you, but let's end
on please.
This.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I hope. This is a baseball podcast.
Yep.
We are true baseball fans. We literally could not wait until this series in Korea happened. Next Thursday when opening day happens. We can't wait for middle of the season, the dog days of summer. We can't wait for the playoffs. We can't wait for the World Series. Like all these things. We can't even wait for the offseason because the offseason is fun. Everything's so great. Shohei Ohtani is one of the greatest blessings the game of baseball will forever have. And we are I'm so thankful that I get to have him on my TV screen and I get to watch him play the most beautiful game in the world and my favorite game in the world. And I truly, truly hope that what happens out of this was hopefully never Ohtani's fault, false information reported, and we move on. My greatest fear is this lingers on for the entirety of the year. And then all of a sudden, in the postseason or in the postseason, whatever it is, that we unfortunately don't get to see this guy pitch again, play left field, right field, all these things. Like he deserves to be on the field. And I say he deserves to be on the field if this is not necessarily something that is a criminal offense. I'm praying to whoever is up there, please don't let this be something where we lose this guy on the field. Cause this Dodgers team is a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah. Yeah. I couldn't have said it better myself. And, you know, I think most of the baseball fandom feels the same way. You know, we don't want this to turn into something that it's not. It kind of sucks how it's come out, and we're still waiting for a lot of information. So the Big Fly Pod will keep you updated as we get this information. We're going to do our best. But again, we're not lawyers. You know, we've read up only as much as the internet allows us to, right? We don't know the specifics of a lot of things. And something I thought of, if he doesn't play in the MLB, we can certainly watch him. I'm sure he'll sign on, you know, a team with Japan or something like that, right? He's not going, he's still going to play baseball, right? He's yep. the best baseball player on the planet when he's healthy. Sorry, Ronald Acuna. But we're just, you're absolutely right. It's so much fun to watch him play. We love having him on our TV screen. We love having him in the league. I just hope that whatever situation plays out, that we get to continue to watch him, and we just get to move forward.
Couldn't have said it better. All right, so a couple other free agent news. Not really anything on the injury front. We've discussed that quite a bit. But it sounds like what we're hearing is that JD Martinez agreed to a deal with the Mets worth $12 million. I'm guessing that's going to be a one-year deal. Other news as well, we heard that Michael Lorenzen signed a one-year, $4.5 million contract with the Rangers. And that's pretty much it. Michael A. Taylor signed with the oh my God, I'm blanking on where he signed. Signed with Pittsburgh by chance?
I don't remember. I know he signed.
Yes. I had it right. One year, $4 million with Pittsburgh. Do a podcast, Ty. So
have your notes ready, Ty.
Yeah. I need to stop working, is what I need to do. But that's sort of what's been going around. The JD Martinez one is kind of just a sort of a, I guess you want to say, the stamp on the envelope for the 2024 offseason. Vinny, well, you weren't on because I do want to get your thoughts on Blake Snell signing with the Giants. Sure. But go ahead first if you had some other points you wanted.
Well, I was just going to say Jordan Montgomery hasn't been signed yet, so hopefully there's another domino yet to fall.
He ain't pitching this year, basically, with what I'm hearing. It's like, yeah, this guy wants a long-term contract. It's like Blake Snell won a Cy Young, and he's getting a pillow contract.
Yeah, and, you know, you guys have, as we've done this podcast over the winter, I feel like I've been the low man on the Giants in particular. And the signing definitely does, you know, the Blake Snell signing to the Giants definitely does intrigue me a little bit more. I think they're a little bit more competitive now. I think they definitely stand a chance if you're talking against Arizona. But I do think that that's, you know, the next step. I think San Diego's right there. It's going to be a fun division now. Like, before the Snell signing, I was like, okay, I'm lukewarm. Jung Ho Lee looks okay. Matt Chapman's going to be, you know, we know what Matt Chapman's going to be. Now I think, okay, I see what they're doing. Part of me still thinks they're just trying to throw money at their problems and hope it all, you know, kind of works out. And, you know, they sneak in the playoffs and, hey, figure it out. Oh, look, we won a World Series. But, you know, I still don't think that they're necessarily like the best team on paper, but at the same time, you don't always have to be. So the Blake Snell signing is interesting to me. The Giants are definitely a team I'm going to watch for at least the first half of the season and see how it kind of plays out, because clearly they're invested on winning. So I'm going to take a step back from my stance all off season, because I've kind of crapped all over them, but I'm going to give them a little bit of the benefit of the doubt and see what they got. So I'm excited for that one.
Yeah. It's chaos a little bit with Snell. Chaos with Jordan Hicks. Kyle Harrison, I think people are going to be fairly surprised at how good he can be. And after that, it's Keaton Winn, but then it's Robbie Ray mid-year. Mm-hmm. Which is chaos.
They have one of the best closers in the game, and
Emilio Duvall.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, and they're solid around the field. I mean, you know, they got definitely big holes. I'm not crazy about Nick Ahmed. Michael Conforto's okay. You know, Yastrzemski's okay. Lamont Wade's okay. But, you know, like they're okay. So they're just okay. But sometimes in baseball, that's all you need. Sometimes okay plays. Right. Like we saw with last year with the Cardinals, they had a good team on paper and it didn't pan out. You know, Paper doesn't mean anything when it comes to actual games. And we've seen the Giants, they somehow have some pixie dust magic that, you know, when they won three World Series in 6 years, like on paper, I don't think those were the best teams in MLB by far. Like they just kind of put it together. So, you know, obviously they're solid teams, but I think that's what they're trying to build here. So we'll see.
A new manager and Bob Melvin will be, you know, having that, you know, we saw with Bruce Bochy in Texas. Maybe I wouldn't compare the two, but the older style of coaching, which Bob Melvin, I think it should be fascinating to watch how he handles a guy like Jordan Hicks coming into the new, you know, coming into the new fold of being a starter. You know, how does he manage Blake Snell with, you know, does he let him go that extra inning when he's at 100 pitches? You know, how does he manage a guy like Kyle Harrison, who's young and up and coming? Does he give him, you know, the short leash? It's going to be what there's. It's so cool this year, man. We just have so many storylines to watch this year. I mean, I don't even know who to put a bet on.
Yeah, I meant to listen to your episode where you guys did your. What's so funny?
Oh, you didn't catch the joke.
Ooh. No, sorry. I was.
Looking. I said I don't know who to put a bet on.
Oh, I get it now. Oh no. Oh. You know why I didn't really think it was a joke? It was because I know you guys just did your episode on predictions. You guys did some predictions, correct?
We did.
And
we
Kyle did. And Bacon.
I have that here. Would you like to give your picks?
I will give my picks maybe on a separate episode because I haven't fully thought.
Oh, great. So right after opening day. That sounds
awesome. No. We could do one right before. Well, on opening day. Oh, what, one day is going to change how I feel about no. Uh-uh. I think that the central divisions are the two toughest by far to kind of predict. You know, even the AL East is not easy, but nobody knows what's going to happen in the central division.
Maybe our agents can talk and we can get you on before Thursday.
We'll do our best. Yeah, I got a busy schedule. I'll pass you off to my assistant and she can maybe help you out. You know, busy man over here.
I really want to talk Mariners. I want to talk Mariners.
Let's talk some Mariners.
Done?
Yeah. Yeah, whatever. Fine.
We're obviously going to move that over to a separate episode, folks. But, you know, if you are listening to episode 75, we're going to roll right into episode 76. We're going to talk about the Mariners and do the breakdown for that. We're going to somehow try to get through all the teams by opening day. May require some overtime for the boys, but please go ahead and listen to episode 76, where we're going to talk about the Mariners. And to everyone that tuned in, again, thank you so much for listening to another edition of the Big Fly Pod. We'll talk to you again here soon.